And in our, we have a disease called only if. Sometimes we have everything, but there's a desire. Only if that one coin was there. Only if I was a little fair. Only if I was a little taller. And these only ifs, only if I could run faster, only if I could sing better. And he says, these are seeds for future lives in this world. So for that one coin, you have to come back. He was happy without any, but he came tensed up with 99. So we don't want to join the 99 club. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made dukhi into sukhi. But we have the potency of making our life into dukhi if we join this club. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. So from this Sunday till Janmashtami festival, which comes on September 2nd, we are going to have a series of lectures describing the glories of Lord Sri Krishna. Various topics have been selected to give various angles to the glorious activities and the teachings that are initiated by the beautiful pastimes of the Lord. So the topic that we are beginning with is Krishna, the greatest social reformer. As soon as I got this topic, like any one of us would do, I'm sure, rather than going to Bhagavatam, I pressed on the Google, social reformers. Just curiosity's sake. What exactly is social reformer? Who are the social reformers? What have they reformed? And I saw a host of them from India and all over, consisting of several politicians who brought about some changes in society, administrators who curbed some social evils that was prevailing, some kind of discrimination or partiality being meted out, whether it is South Africa, the apartheid, or whatever, treating people indifferently or creating differences. Somebody is second class, somebody is low class, somebody is high class, fighting for that kind of thing. Then I saw some social religious reformers, because some external religious rituals like sati, very early marriage system like that, which was superficially dragged to a very extreme degree and wanting to remove, or uplifting the downtrodden who have been neglected, who have been exploited. Also, overall improvement of society in whatever way. Some scientists who have created quality of life being increased by their contribution to the society. And surprisingly, some nice Bollywood singers are also added there. That these people entertained or, you know, created some difference in the society, some kind of betterment. And when, with this understanding, I was thinking, a layman, if he wants to understand who are the great social reformers, this is ultimately, this is what the understanding, and he may go into their lives, what they did, their activities, etc. So immediately I was reminded of Radhika Raman Prabhu, who had come here, a PhD scholar from Cambridge, Oxford, and son of a wonderful devotee couple, very scholarly. He made a very interesting statement. He said, in Vedic literature, the emphasis is given to not information alone, but to the source of information. That's given importance. So whenever we receive any information, in Vedic system, we question, who is the authority? Who is speaking this? Because that gives weightage to the information. How seriously or how we can adopt it. So, actually, from the Vedic perspective, if we see who are actually genuine and deep social reformers, surprisingly, none of them are found in this list. No mention whatsoever. What to speak of Krishna, greatest social reformer? None of the great, powerful acharyas who created such a powerful transformation in the heart of society and improved the quality of the consciousness, elevated the consciousness of society and brought about amazing reforms for the upliftment of every living entity, not just one particular category of people alone. Nowhere is to be seen. So most of it is very, no doubt, these people really, these people whom I am mentioning on the net, were extending themselves, genuinely concerned, but the, from the passage of infinity, time, if you see, after few years, it becomes totally irrelevant. Maybe at that moment it's very important, but overall it is so superficial, it is so temporary, it is so limited in focus, and many times after some time it leads to major disaster. Unless it is based on truth. Some reforms have been for good, some reforms have been for bad. Everyone in 1917 thought that now Russia, there is a revolution and now there is equality for everyone. Communism. It was a revolution. Completely social reform was done. And they thought that there will be equality amongst everyone. But then, about 80 years later, when people were totally disgusted, frustrated, disappointed, and threw off that government, then information is coming out that 20 million people or something like that were completely slaughtered for just protecting that system. And the horrible face of it is coming out. So sometimes we see not all reforms were good or just good. Many of them were on the other side too. So, in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the purport, right at the outset, first canto, first chapter, fourth verse, after offering Mangalacharan, The first verse, the fourth verse is, it begins, Bhagavatam begins with, the sages of Naimisharanya are sitting to perform. Naimishe Animisha Kshetre Rushayaha Shaunakadayaha Satram Swargaya Lokaya Sahasra Samamasata. The sages of Naimisharanya sat down with a desire to perform a sacrifice for 1,000 years. Swargaya Lokaya, for the glorification of the Lord and for the upliftment of mankind. So, there, the definition of a sage, rishi, a genuine reformer of the society at large, three qualities are emphasized by Srila Prabhupada. He says, who are real sages, rishis? Number one, the great sages are always anxious to do good to people in general. This is the first sign of a reformer, great social reformer, that they are always anxious. They're always anxious to do good to people in general. That is their only consideration. That is their whole emphasis in whole life. Their life is meant for this. So, it is a fact. It is a fact that many of the reformers that are found in history books and other books in today's literature had concern, genuine concern for the upliftment of mankind and anxious to do good people, good to people in general. But much of the times, some kind of motives are there, hidden within it, which eventually spoils it. It's not very pure. Interest is there, but there is also some amount of self-interest, which actually spoils. There is one devotee expressed, one time a man went to God and he said, God, I want peace. God said, remove two words and you will have peace. Remove I and remove want. You will have peace. If you remove I and want, you will have peace. This is superficial level. Truly speaking, why is there, you know, so many conferences on peace, but the society is breaking to pieces? Because of these two words, I, egoism, and want, selfishness. Because of this egoistic and selfish mentality, gross or very subtle, we want to liberate only the Indians. It's very narrow viewpoint, very egoistic, because I am born here, therefore this country is great. This has to be liberated. Whatever happens to the neighbors, I don't care. It's one kind of an attitude. And these two are basically controllership and trying to enjoy. Gross or subtle, but very, very deep rooted within the heart of ignorant, genuinely concerned, but ignorant mass of people. They don't even detect this. Andha yathandhihi upaniyamana tepi shatantram urudamni baddha, Bhagavad says. When the blind lead the blind, both fall down into a ditch of ignorance. Blind leading the blind. So, that is the bhoga aishwarya prasaktanam taya apahrta chetasam. Krishna also describes in the Bhagavad Gita. The second thing that Prabhupada writes for a sage, he says, forgetful men do not know the right path for peace and prosperity. However, the sages know it well And therefore, for the good of all men, they are always anxious to perform acts which may bring about peace in the world. So, many are genuinely concerned. They are anxious to do good to people. So many philanthropic societies, so many social clubs and things like that are established with a genuine desire to do good. But maybe for some time during the presence of that personality, something happens. But after that, everything disintegrates. Or even within that person's life also, we see that it is very, very limited, superficial, temporary. But here, the sages are those who actually have the solution to remove all the troubles from the society at large. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says it very simply. Yajnarthat karmanah anyatrah lokoyam karma bandhanah. It leads to another kind of bondage. Without performing it for the satisfaction of the Lord, without watering the root of the tree, it is not going to be beneficial to the society at large. Also, you know, Prabhupada writes it, and in Gita, the other one, peace formula, we say, bhoktaram yagyatapas. Everyone wants peace. All that we are saying is give peace a chance. But where is that peace? Without God in the center, the prime cause of all causes, how can there be a unity or peace or prosperity? So this is the point that is brought out. They know exactly what to do. The sages know well what to do. He said in the Bhagavatam, right at the preface, Prabhupada writes, what is the need of the society today? Earlier there were, you know, in the Middle Ages, he said, now the society has become global, broad. The boundaries have been cleared because of communication system. The whole global society, one society has become one. But in the process, he says, everyone is thinking of one state or one community, spiritual community, the ideology of spiritual communism is there. But they don't know how to do that. Their genuine concern is there, but they actually don't know how to do it. They have no solution. People have no solution to the problems. They're trying their best, groping in the dark, touching some aspect and doing some little bit. But no one knows how to go to the root of the problem and remove it from the root. That is provided in the Srimad Bhagavatam. That is provided in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Janmadhyasa yataha. It begins there. So Prabhupada writes in the preface, this Bhagavatam is actually giving you the provides the common cause, not only for all humanity, but the whole living entities in all the different species of life. This will be the ultimate welfare activity. And we can see this International Society for Krishna Consciousness is one endeavor towards that goal. And we see, at least within this society, when we have this knowledge, the whole global community can come together under one banner. This is real United Nations. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's 500th anniversary, people from all over the world came to Mayapur, glorifying Jai Sachinandana, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Prabhupada said, this is real UNO. Otherwise, you know, every year the flags, number of flags keep going up in the UNO. What does that mean? That means countries are breaking up. One was there, now it has become four. One United Social Soviet Republic. One was there, now there are hundreds of flags. And they all want to come together, but they keep on, the number keeps on increasing. What a paradox. That's because people are not aware what should be the root cause, or what should be the foundation on which platform whole world can unite. Then he says, human society at the present moment is not in the darkness of oblivion. It has made rapid progress in the field of material comforts, education and economic development, thanks to the reformers. The entire world. But there is a pinprick somewhere in the society, social body at large. And therefore there are large-scale quarrels even over less important issues. There is need of a clue as to how humanity can become one in peace, friendship and prosperity with a common cause. Srimad Bhagavatam will fill this need, for it is a cultural presentation for the re-spiritualization of the entire human society. So in this way, he says it is not only for knowing the ultimate source of everything, but also for knowing our relation with him and our duty towards the perfection of human society on the basis of this perfect knowledge. So this way he says, today we are observing Guru Purnima. It's actually Vyas Purnima. It was observed during Mahaprabhu's time. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu met, and the next day was Vyas Puja or the Vyas Purnima. It's actually Vyas Purnima. Vyas Dev is worshipped on this day. But unfortunately, the Mayavadis make this Guru Purnima as the worship of all the gurus, which is very impersonal. In the Vaishnava philosophy, we worship Guru on their respective appearance day and disappearance days. We worship the Guru every day, every moment actually. It's very impersonal to worship only on one day. So therefore, we observe it as Vyas Puja, Vyas Purnima. Vyas Dev is to be worshipped. And what a better social reformer than the literary incarnation of the Supreme Lord Krishna as Vyas Dev. Sitting in the ice-cold environment of Himalayan mountains, he created the heat and the warmth of the philosophy of absolute truth out of the fire, blazing fire of compassion of his heart. Even today, 5,000 years later, people all over are being benefited by that reforms that he actually established with having all the qualifications, which we'll discuss, of a true social reformer. What are the characteristics one should have? This asana is called Vyasasana. Powerful acharyas have come, right? So many acharyas. We don't call the asana by their name. We could have called the asana. So many acharyas came after that. We could have changed it. Vyas chalega. Dusra asana bolo na. Madhvasana, Ramanujasana. We could have said that. But we will say Vyasasana. Because as a representative within that parampara, he actually first time brought it out in the written form, compiled all the Vedic literature, and ultimately, of course, he also, accepting a spiritual master, gave the Srimad Bhagavatam, the crest jewel of all literatures. So, this is the second one. One should know, not only having compassion, your intention may be good, but the activity, if it is not based on absolute knowledge, it cannot benefit all the people for all the time. Thirdly, he says, not only are they deeply anxious for the welfare of people, not only they are fully knowledgeable about what exactly is to be done. Thirdly, he says, they are sincere friends to all living entities, and at the risk of great personal inconvenience, they are always engaged in the service of the Lord for the good of all people. So, three qualifications. Number one, deeply being anxious for the welfare of people. Of course, most of the people are anxious, very anxious, for their own welfare. We saw this drama depicted. Very few are actually concerned, what to speak of others, but even their neighbors. But anxious for the social body at large, for a long time to come. It's not just immediate. That's why Krishna says, you know, imam vivasvate yoga puranatanam. One time, there was a man, old man, 90-year-old man, putting a coconut seedling, he was putting on the ground. The king of the land was passing by. And he started laughing at this old man. He said, what foolishness. This will take at least 20, 30 years to give fruits. And by the time, you will not be there. How foolish you are planting this tree. So the man said, if my grandfather had thought like this, I wouldn't have received all the coconut which I am receiving now. The king was so impressed. He gave a bag of 99 gold coins. Actually, there was 100. This old man. Immediately, old man said, when you plant coconut trees, it gives only fruits once in a season. But you see, I have planted. It is not even planted fully. And already I have got the first crop. The king was so impressed, he took another 100 coins. And then you see, generally it gives once in a season. Already twice it has given. The king said, I will leave now. If these great reformers, being very, very great visionaries, not thinking of their own personal lives, but not even thinking of their own personal lifespan, but seeing the ultimate benefit, the highest benefit for the largest number of people for the longest time. Going back to the spiritual world, eternally, every living entity, they are the Vaishnavas, they are the devotees of the Lord. And therefore, truly, Krishna, the Supreme Lord, and his empowered devotees, pure devotees of the Lord, are truly the only substantial social reformers, whose names may not be mentioned because they don't even want to be named, but whose activities, the benefit of their activities, everyone is continuing to actually take advantage of. What does reform actually mean? Sometimes a change is brought about and that is seen as a reform. But that's not reform. Reform. That means there was already a form. It had only become shapeless, that's all. Now you have to give it a form. Give it the original form. We didn't form it. Where is the question of reforming it? The person who formed it was Krishna. Chaturvarnyam Maya Srishtam. He established how the society should be. Whether we like it or not, it has to be like that. Artificially, you may try to create anything. It won't last long. It has to be the way the creator wanted it to be. Guna karma vibhagashah. It has to be like that. And then there was a purpose of this whole creation. So the purpose of this whole creation is known to the person who created. And therefore, real reform means to bring it in alignment with the will of the original former and the reformer. When the Lord notices it, he comes down. Dharma sansthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. When he notices it, he comes. And when he establishes, he exactly knows what has gone out of form. And he reforms. And therefore, simply by studying his life and activities, one can actually know what is real reform. Therefore, Krishna himself says in the Bhagavad Gita, he says in the beginning of the fourth chapter, very interesting, why he spoke the fourth chapter. The fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, he's talking about himself. Who is he? Otherwise, you know, if he speaks the Gita, why should people bother? Everyone can manufacture their own Gita. They can sing a song, right? Everyone can sing their own song. Gita means song. When the Lord sings a song, that's very significant. So, who is he? So that his song becomes important. Secondly, he says, why he comes? What is the reason for his coming? Just to do this, to reform the society in its natural position, state it should be. The first verse says, Imam vivasvate yogam proktavan aham avyayam. The word avyaya is very important. Avyaya is translated as imperishable. That means these truths are not to be reinvented. They are already there. You don't have to invent something new. They are imperishable truths. They have to be realized and they have to be established. And all the extra thing that has gathered, all the dirt, they have to be cleaned out and the original thing has to be reinstituted. That's all. Avyayam. And also, I attended a seminar on communication and there Anuttam Prabhu was speaking. He said, Prabhupada was very concerned that Krishna consciousness movement be recognized with three important principles. And whenever he saw some in the newspaper or article anywhere where this particular point came, he would cut it and keep it. Yes, these people are recognizing it. He said, what are these three things? Firstly, it has ancient roots. Srila Prabhupada wanted to emphasize, this is not something newly concocted in the sterile brain of some intellectuals. New reform, this samaj, that samaj. Right? So many samajas came, Brahma samaj, Arya samaj came out immediately after, which was basically the best taken from here and there and hodgepodge was created. With good intention, intellectuals, the best thing that they could see with their vision, they brought it. It was beneficial to some extent. But then, this is nothing like that. It has ancient roots. It was given right at the beginning of creation. 40 billions of years ago, it was given to Vivaswan. Prevalent for, you know, lakhs of years on this planet. Since the time of Ikshvaku. So he was very impressed when people, he would appreciate when people understood, yes, we are not doing anything new. It is the same thing which is given in a proper way. Second thing is, not only it is ancient roots, but it is bona fide. It's bona fide. It is not, it's pure. It's very pure. And it's genuine. There is no mix-up. That's why he called it Bhagavad Gita as it is. No addition, no subtraction. It is pure product. No contamination of, humanly created some kind of concoctions. It is the same truth. And thirdly, it is working for the ultimate and real welfare of the society. Beneficial to, we are here simply to, the society is here simply to benefit the society. No other purpose. Benefit ourselves. Bharata bhumite haila manusha janma jar, janma sarthaka kari karo paropaka. That's all. That is the only purpose of this. No other agenda. So it has ancient roots, it is bona fide, and it is only meant for the ultimate welfare, real welfare of the whole society at large. He was very particular that these be communicated. So this is the first one, avyayam. Imam vivasvate yogam. Imam vivasvate yogam. Avyayam yogam. And yogam is translated as the science of one's relationship to the Supreme. Why relationship to the Supreme? Because without relationship to the Supreme, everything will dry up. The Supreme is the root. Aham sarvasya prabhavo. He is the root of all this tree. However green the branch is, the moment it is disconnected or broken from the tree, it loses its greenery. It loses its freshness. Everything becomes stale and dry and finished within no time. So the tree of connection to the Lord was given by the Lord himself. That's the parampara, which we'll discuss later. But then, the moment it is cut off, then everything gets dries up. That means the purpose is defeated. We hear Chaitanya Shakha. He described Chaitanya Shakha, Nityan Shakha. So many, many powerful acharyas came. Some became asar when they deviated. Everything is lost. They can't remain long. Because the connection with the root is not there. Just like the lotus. The lotus should blossom when the sun shines. But only when the lotus is connected in the ground, in the lake. If it is disconnected, the sun will dry it up. The same sun will dry it up. The same sun which is supposed to blossom it, help to blossom this, will dry it up. So absolute truth, if it is not connected, it has to dry up. It's a relative thing. It won't last long. And there, and in the next verse he says, evam parampara praptam. This is very important, especially on this day. Even Krishna accepted a guru to show how important it is to be connected to the source through a proper chain, unbroken chain. Otherwise, you can't do any welfare. Or that welfare will be very, very superficial, very temporary, and not truly actually benefiting every aspect of the life of the society. So that connection is very important. Yasmin vigyate sarvam evam vigyatam bhavati. By that connection, one who has a guru, a bona fide guru, knows things, sees things as they are, and can work truly for the welfare of people. Even Krishna accepted this. Rishivir bahudha gitam chandobhir vividhai pratak. Brahma sutra padaischeva hetu madbhir vinishchitai. He quotes that what I am saying, Rishivir bahudha gitam, all the great souls in the past have spoken it in different ways. Chandobhir, even the Vedic scriptures accept it. Brahma sutra padaischeva hetu madbhir vinishchitai. This cause and effect has been already explained. Soul and super soul relationship is explained. I am not speaking just something different. Even Krishna, even though he is the supreme authority, quotes the authorities just to show how important this connection is. Without that, the welfare that we may do will not be truly helpful in the real sense. For example, sometimes we are influenced by the immediate and do something which is try to do the welfare. For example, in Bhaktir Samrasindhu, Rupa Goswami says, Sadhu Marganu Vartmanam, following in the footsteps of the great acharyas. An example for this is, and if it is not that, Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatri Vidhim Mina, Aikantiki Harar Bhaktir Utpataya Iva Kalpata. It will create chaos. Example is given of Buddha. During the time of Buddha, just prior to that, in the name of Vedas, the Brahminical or the Brahmanas, so-called Brahmanas, who did not understand the principle, actually were slaughtering animals in the name of Yajna. And it had become literally a slaughterhouse. Temples had become slaughterhouses. Nindasi Yajna Vidhe Rahaha Shruti Jatam. It is born from Shruti. And therefore Buddha said, I reject the Shruti itself. He rejected the Vedas. He rejected this line of great knowledge that has been very carefully handed down. The essence of it, the substance has been very carefully handed down and always adding, giving it a new form, suitable form according to time, place, and removing the old ones. That is the job of parampara. The product is not changed. Packaging may change. You know, even businessmen do this. Lux super new. New. Super new. Super, super new. The product is the same. Some color is different. Some packaging different. Some poster is different. So our BVT people also, Rajavidya, every time they come with new posters or covers for that. That's all right. But if the product changes, that is, then it is lost. So that is parampara system. They are in the market. They know what is the need. And they provide a cover, suitable cover for people to accept. But the product is maintained. The quality of the product is maintained. That is parampara. So, what unfortunately Buddha did is he rejected the Vedas. He rejected this whole parampara system, which was immediately very beneficial. And thanks to Ashoka Vardhan, he took it and actually established not only in India but on all the neighboring countries also. Powerful. But then after some time, today we see, not to criticize, but then the Buddhists eat meat. I have seen personally. And I spoke to that person and spoke, that's allowed. As long as you beg and somebody gives you, you can eat. Or you can order for it also. But as long as you don't kill it. So concoction comes in. Eventually now, not only are they meat eaters, but also totally atheistic. Totally atheistic. Totally rejecting the Vedas. Throwing the baby out of the bathwater. After you wash, you should throw the dirty water. If you throw the baby itself, why take the effort to wash them? So similarly, he threw it off. And that created such a havoc. We were discussing the other day. He was so extremely went to this principle of Ahimsa, which is sub-religious principle, that even the Ayurvedic surgery that was there by Sushruta, even that was stopped. No Ahimsa. So that wonderful science was lost. And even Kshatriyas, powerful warriors, they decided to do Ahimsa. And that's how actually gradually the foreign invasion started, when it was not properly understood. Prabhupada gives in that example in Srimad Bhagavad Gita about talking about Ahimsa. He said, Himsa is good. Himsa is good. Provided it is in the hands of an authorized person who is knowledgeable. Himsa is not bad. For example, a surgeon, he gives these two examples. A surgeon sometimes may cut open a patient to remove a tumor. It is violence, isn't it? Cutting open a person, bleeding, opening him up, literally like Hiranyakashipu, and then removing the tumor. And after all that, you get up and you thank the doctor and pay him sufficient amount. If it is Himsa, why don't you go to the police and say, Kata dekho isko kuch karo. You pay him. And if he says, and you go with a tumor, you are about to die, and the doctor says, Ahimsa. That is Himsa. You are allowing him to die. Similarly, in society when there are tumors like Duryodhan, then the Kshatriyas who are supposed to protect, they are supposed to take up weapon to remove these tumors in the society. Dangerous tumors which can potentially destroy the whole social body at large. Whoever they are, Krishna did that. Krishna did it to Jarasandha, Krishna did it to Kalia. Not at all eco-friendly guy. Kalia was totally non-eco-friendly. He had poisoned the whole atmosphere. Everyone was getting killed because of the poison that is created. Because of his very egoistic and selfish. And he, just like the MNCs. Sorry. Fact is this. At any cost, we are number one. And we will just take over the whole thing. BT Brinjal, BT cotton, cauliflower, whatever. Take over. Poison. Poison the whole atmosphere. And the government is just sitting and watching. Ignorant, powerless, simply watching. Knowing fully well that the whole environment is getting destroyed. Even a fool can understand, but doing nothing about it. Why? Because they have their interests. Krishna was not interested. He just dived in, dealt with him, completely subdued him. Brought him to senses. Real social reformer. So, here he was. He did that. And because of it, and the worst is, he stopped the process of yajna. Nindasi yajna vidhe. You stop the wrong thing. If there is a cataract in the eye, remove the cataract. Don't pluck out the eye. That's exactly what he did. Of course, through the scriptures we understand. It is only through scriptures we understand that he was an Avesh avatar. He came for a specific emergency purpose. He did his part. At that time, what was needed, he did. But then, the scriptures also say what he taught was a sub-religious principle. It is not an eternal truth. Aikantiki harar bhakti. Aikantiki means steady devotion. So his followers steadily follow. But, utpata, because they rejected Shruti Smriti Purana, it created utpata. It simply created chaotic situation. Today, the followers are neither vegetarian, nor are they theistic. Totally atheistic. In the name of Buddha. And the principle of yajna, so sacred, so pure. In fact, this whole creation is subsisting on the principle of yajna. Yajna means sacrifice. We are all sitting here because of somebody else's sacrifice. The principle of sacrifice is, there are two sticks. Actually it's called Purva Arani and Uttar Arani. Two sticks are taken. You know, what is the spirit of the sacrifice? You take one stick, look at another stick and rub it. Fire comes out. Arani wood is called, particular kind of wood. And then you light the fire. So similarly, this whole creation is existing based on the spirit of sacrifice. For us to become what we are today, our parents have sacrificed. Sacrificed their energy, their time, their life to create a good child. How much sacrifice has to be undergone? Sacrifice of energy, sacrifice of time, sacrifice of money. To create this, how much sacrifice has gone behind? Somebody has given money, somebody has given endeavor. Somebody has taken care to actually see that. Had somebody, whatever we see around is a result of sacrifice. Somebody sacrificed. You can't live without sacrifice. Nothing will exist without sacrifice. Nothing can be maintained without sacrifice. Nothing can be continued without sacrifice. One person sacrificed his life, life's energy. A guru, just like a seed has to sacrifice itself in the ground and finishes its existence to give rise to a plant which gives hundreds of seeds. If the seed says, "Nay, I will sit on a hard ground. Why should I destroy? But still I want seeds." It won't come. A seed has to completely sacrifice itself, finishes its existence to give rise to the plant giving 100. Similarly, a guru, he sacrifices his life to create hundreds of himself, expansion of himself. The spirit of sacrifice, die to live. And the whole philosophy without Vedic became live to die. That's what Buddhism is all about. Nihilistic. Finish off your existence. Nirvana. Live so that one day I will die. Waiting to die. But the Vedic philosophy is, you die to live. He reasons ill who says Vaishnavas die while they are still living in sound. Vaishnavas die to live and living spread the holy name around. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote on the epitaph as a on the tomb of Haridas Thakur. And it applies to all the great Vaishnavas in this unbroken chain of disciplic succession, to whom on this day we can offer our respects. If we are benefited, it is because of someone else's, not just one person's, but a series of great souls whom we see here. It is their sacrifice. Without that, we couldn't have survived. So that is not only dying to live, but dying so that everyone else can live. And in that process, ultimately achieve one's own benefit also. What an amazing principle. You get benefited, you get the ultimate benefit, and everyone else gets it also. Can you imagine? This principle was in the name of temporary some benefit. The eye was plugged out instead of the cataract. And today, still not understanding the scriptures, some people are still following that. Not understanding the real principle behind. After some time, when a system is dead, it is the spirit that is kept alive. Spirit of the system should be alive. And that is transformed by sacrifice. The spirit of a system. Because the system, after some time, may become little old, ritualistic. Those rituals have to be thrown out. Those rituals have to be thrown out. Otherwise, those system itself destroy the very social body. For example, Krishna. Let us Krishna, the greatest social reformer. He killed Bhaumasura. Tradition. What was the tradition? Tradition was, if a woman was stolen away, kidnapped by someone by force, aggressively, and taken away, because you somehow couldn't protect and some aggressor took away, then that person is considered, that she is considered contaminated. She cannot be taken back into the society. Is it her fault? It's not her fault. It is because of you, weakling, you couldn't protect, therefore they took away. And you can't get back and therefore you reject them. This was the situation. Krishna said, "Yeah, why not? I'll get them." This is what Bhaumasura had done. Captured 16,000 princesses. Such a terrorist. No one was there to deal with him. No one was there. Krishna went along with his wife. And he said, "Satyabhama, you also come along. Dekho kya karta." Not only he killed him, but brought back, and he actually married them and gave them the most exalted status of his wives. They needed shelter. He gave that shelter in such a wonderful way, unimaginable way. And people criticize for that. Of course, we can't imitate. We can't imitate unless we do all the other things that Krishna did. But the principle is very important. Principle is very important. Those who follow, the one thing about a social reformer, he has to be daring, courageous, bold, fearless. Srila Prabhupada was like that. Entering into the capital of Hiranyakashipu in America to destroy that American culture. He went there. He said, if people knew what I was doing, they would have killed me. But he boldly spoke, what you're doing is nonsense. He had that courage to speak. And he actually brought it to its knees in that sense. Going there, powerful, alone, as an old man. What risking all this inconvenience. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejects of society, not to be reclaimed back by the so-called Brahmanas of that time. Rup and Sanatan, Davir Khas Sakar Malik. And why they went? They also went to protect these Brahmanas. Protect this so that, you know, they can be protected. The Vaishnavas can do what they want. They went there and they were rejected by these people. By their very people. Mahaprabhu not only claimed them from the rejects, he made them into Dhira Adhira Jana Priyav Priyakaro Manyav Sharanyakaro. He made them into the ultimate position of Paramahamsa Goswamis. Haridas Thakur, he made him into the Namacharya. Because he sees the essence, not he sees the substance and not the externals, not the superficials. Subuddhi Rai, another case. Subuddhi Rai, nice Brahmana. But at that time, 500 years ago, so ritualistic that the caste system had become that if a Muslim fellow took a little water and threw it on him, Gaya. His caste is finished. So he said, what should I do to finish my caste? Oh, you have to die, that's all. Now. In your next birth? Maybe. Chanting the name of Lord. No, not even that. What they said? Yeah, he said, you take ghee, few kilos of ghee, boil it, drink it. Matlab, indirectly they are telling you to die. This is the prayaschitta. There is no way of coming back. No coming back. Drink it. Then what will happen? Because you die with ghee. Of course, the boiling ghee, if you drink, you will die. Because you die with ghee in mouth, you will be born as a Brahmana next time and join us. Mahaprabhu reclaimed him, engaged him in devotional service. So Krishna claimed these people who were rejected in one sense by the people. Helpless victims. Krishna promoted violence through the Bhagavad Gita. In fact, the whole Gita was spoken just to provoke Arjuna. Go and fight. He says, you're a eunuch. Big philosophy you're talking, but it's all simply a thing to cover up. You're a eunuch. Klebhyam masmagamah partha. Don't fall to this impotence. Go and fight. Because you have to perform this surgery. All the big tumor that has gathered here, you have to remove. You are simply an instrument. I want to use you. So, Rajarshayo Viduhu, Evam Parampara Praptam. This is another very thing. Every word that Krishna speaks, especially in this fourth chapter, is talking about every aspect, different aspect of reformation, social reformation. He says, it is meant for Rajarishis. Because who? They were not just Raja, kings, but they were actually saintly kings. saints in the form of kings. There were saints in the form of sages, and there were saints in the form of kings. They were called Rajarishis. That's like Brahma Rishi, you have Rajarishi. They were actually rishis. And rishis were, what is the purpose of a kshatriya? Kshati trayate iti kshatriya. One who protects from loss. Kshati. Kshati means loss. What is the loss? Loss of human form of life in the society at large. The king was to protect his citizens from loss of human form of life. Loss of human form of life to what? To bondage of lust. How to overcome this? By infusing them with love rather than lust, which will liberate them. Love of God, devotional service, will liberate them. While any other activity will simply bind them. Whatever name you give them, they're simply binding. So this was their duty. And they were to do it, Prabhupada says, by education, culture, and devotion. And Krishna did that. Krishna did that. Education. He educated not only immediate society, but for all time to come through his Gita. He sang a song in the middle of the battlefield. What a song. What a song. Anyone who sings this is purified. What to speak of applying it. So he gave education. Culture. How much he protected that culture. And devotion. He actually appreciated. Whether it was in Vrindavan, that fruit seller. He reciprocated with her devotion. In Mathura, Sudama, that flower seller. In Hastinapur, Vidura. Krishna was not to be carried away by external grandeur and paraphernalia and worship and all that. He was above all that. He saw substance. Actually, when as Shanti Dut, Krishna was coming into Hastinapur, Duryodhana, as usual, in consultation with Dhritarashtra, had a beautiful camp and invited him so that he will feed him nicely and bribe him to join him. When Vidura heard of this, Vidura said, Dhritarashtra, you are not only blind externally but internally also. It is confirmed now. You think you can attract Krishna by these kind of external, superficial grandeur and worship like that? You think Krishna will be impressed by this? How foolish! You have not understood Krishna. And Krishna came. He didn't bother. He walked straight to Vidura's house. And he accepted that whatever was offered, little was offered, with love and devotion. He out and out, clearly, boldly established at every step, he appreciated devotion. And when he went to Mithila, along with to Bahulashwa and Shrutadev, amazing how impartial he was. It's not that he was partial to only the rich category and not to the poor. Sudama, how he reciprocated with him. Every aspect of his life, if we simply study, we actually know what are the eternal religious principles. Dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. Krishna came to simply establish real dharma. Why? Dharmam tu sakshad bhagavat pranitam. Only Krishna and this whole world can only progress to the extent dharma is followed. Why Lord Ram? Dharma, 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 everything. Ram and Bharat were fighting. You take pehle aap. You go to Ayodhya. That is why Sugriva was shocked when he heard about their story. Acha, four brothers living like that. We two brothers. We are fighting. He has taken away my wife also. and he has put me in one particular place. If I get out of this place, he will kill me. ऐसे भाई भी होते हैं, भाई हो तो भरत जैसा. I didn't know. If you go to Chitrakoot, the place where Lord Ram and Bharat are discussing, both are discussing based on dharma, duty and dharma, you should be actually going. No, you should be going. Just by seeing all, there was no eyes of the Ayodhya Vasis that was not welling with tears upon seeing the fight amongst these two brothers. In fact, it is there. All the feet of Bharat, Ram, and all the mothers who were there, all their footprints are there. Why? Because if the stone melted there. Seeing the reciprocation of these two brothers to stick to the principle of dharma, not compromise. Dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. Dharmasya glani. The nature of this world is, it keeps on as the nature of the water is to flow down, down, down to the lowest possible crack. It will not stop. It will go to the lowest level. Similarly, the nature of our consciousness. Trividam narakasyedam dvaram nashanam atmanah kama krodha tatha loha. It just sinks to the lowest level. It's natural. And we use dharma as a tool to justify our own sense gratification. That is dharmasya glani. Dharmasya glani means when our personal interests come into the following of dharma and justifying in the name of dharma. But when Krishna comes like the sun, everything is exposed. Everything is exposed. Therefore, only by studying the life of this person, that's why he comes. And then he says, actually, I could have sent anyone else to do this. But why do I do it? Then he says the confidential reason. Janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tattvatah tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mameti. Simply by hearing about the beautiful pastimes of the Lord, one can get liberated. One can get liberated. Prabhupada, in the 7th chapter, 15th verse of the Bhagavad Gita, brings out two paragraphs of who, as leaders, we are talking about Raja Rishis, right? Okay, now there are no Rajas and there are no Rishis nowadays. Rishis may be there, but Rajas are no more there. Who are the Rajas of today? There are some politicians, some film actors, some sports stars. These are the leaders to be, you know, imitated or followed. So, or there are politicians and then many administrators. And these are the people who we look up to for inspiration. So it is said, just these two paragraphs, please hear it little carefully. Where Prabhupada writes, where we are failing to actually put out actual reforms and what needs to be added. Who are so-called reformers, leaders? Who are the real and what is the difference? He says, it is said in the Bhagavad Gita that simply by surrendering oneself unto the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality, Krishna, one can surmount the stringent laws of nature. Krishna says in the Gita, right? Daivi esha gunamai mama maya duratyaya. It's very difficult to cross the stringent laws of nature. Mam eva ye prapadyante. Only one who surrenders me, maya metam tarantite. This is the secret. This is the reform. If you want to get out of the stringent laws of material nature, these laws are very stringent. They're very difficult. However you reform, however you turn, just comes back to same thing. It's like a dog's tail. Whatever reform, as soon as that fellow turns this side, it is reformed in its perverted position again. So, at this point, a question arises. How is it that educated philosophers, scientists, businessmen, administrators, and all the leaders of ordinary men do not surrender to the lotus feet of Krishna, the all-powerful personality of Godhead. Mukti, or liberation from the laws of material nature, is sought by the leaders of mankind in different ways and with great plans and perseverance for a great many years and births. Every word is very significant. Mukti, or liberation from the stringent laws of material nature. All these laws are simply so that we can become happy, peaceful and prosperous. People are doing so many plans. One fellow comes out, one administrator comes out. This planning, that planning. So many planning is going on. But if that liberation is possible simply by surrendering unto the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, then why don't these intelligent and hard-working leaders adopt this simple method? Chant Hare Krishna and be happy, Baba. The Gita answers this question very frankly. Those really learned leaders of society like Brahma, Shiva, Kapila, Kumaras, Manu, Vyasa, Devala, Asita, Janaka, Prahlad, Bali, and later on Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya, Sri Chaitanya, and many others, who are faithful philosophers, politicians, educators, scientists, surrender to the lotus feet of the Supreme Person, the all-powerful authority. Those who are not actually philosophers, scientists, educators, administrators, but who pose themselves as such for material gain, they may say, no, inka koi material gain nahi tha, Baba. They have to have a material gain, invariably, by default, if they have not taken up this process. They do not accept the plan or path of the Supreme Lord. They have no idea of God. They simply manufacture their own worldly plans and consequently complicate the problems of material existence in their vain attempts to solve them. Because, listen to this beautiful statement. Because material energy is so powerful, it can resist the unauthorized plans of the atheists and baffle the knowledge of planning commissions. You cannot succeed. You cannot succeed. This is not the way. Therefore, what should the leaders do? That is described by Narada Muni to Vyasadeva in that Badrinath, at Badrikashram. He said, my dear Prabhu, so far with deep good intention you have written all the scriptures. But I blame you. Because of this, there will be a problem in future. Huh? Because of this, there will be a problem? Yes. Jugupsitam dharma kritenu shasana. Because you have given so much concession in the form of sense gratification. People will take the sense gratification, leave the regulation. Nobody wants regulation. Everyone wants rights. No one listens to the duties. Everyone is fighting for their rights. Why don't they fight for their duties? They have to be reminded and still they say, oh, baad mein dekhenge, pahle right. So that is the nature. So, what should the leaders do? He said, very simple. He says, jugupsitam, he says, criticize. He says, now you give a pure, unalloyed path, which is all auspicious and which removes all problems from the root. And that is, give Harikirtana. Harikirtana means utilizing everything, all our skills and knowledge and whatever we have by the mercy of the Lord. We use it only for the purpose of glorification of the Lord. Valmiki was a poet. There are so many poets writing so many poems which simply not only agitates their mind but provokes the lust of so many else. So many songs, so many compositions simply to agitate, to fulfill their sense gratification and others. But Valmiki used his poetical sense to glorify the Lord. And since time immemorial, billions and billions of people, by reading that poem, have purified their existence and perfected their lives. Reformed within and without. Vyasadeva, a great author, he wrote literature. So many people are writing literatures. He wrote a literature, but it was purely glorification of the Lord. Similarly, those who are very good in architecture, use this architecture. If you see all the great temples in Indian, all the historical places. In fact, whatever is surviving is mostly the temples, because they were constructed. The best thing was put into that. The best architecture, the strongest structure, most best things were put there. And that's why we see years and years and practically decades and centuries later, still, just by looking at them, people still marvel. What inspiration must have been there. And sometimes some temples have taken lifetimes. Many, many people completed in 700 years. Continued, whole dynasty of social reformers. So that people can actually take advantage. Through this, glorify the Lord. Through this, whether dance, if you see in Vedic culture, one devotee was expressing, Krishna and Ram, they are the two eyes of India. He said, if you see India, if you go to Europe, Germany, France, they are like, you know, Maharashtra, not even Maharashtra, Bombay, small, very small places or countries, individual countries. All are broken up. Language separates them, culture separates them, food habits separates them. India is also the same. So many languages, so many food habits. Right? You go today, Gujarati special, Marwadi, Punjabi, South Indian. Right? Totally different. Dress is different, food habits different, language different. How are they together? Look at their culture. Look at their sculpture. Look at any aspect of their culture, cultural aspect. It is basic music. Look at the music. It's all basically glorification of the different incarnations of the Lord. Look, in all temples you go, you see that. It is the pastimes of the Lord. Whether you see it in literature, whether you see it in sculpture, you see it in architecture, dance, drama, everything. That is the uniting force. The value system are communicated. Amazing thing about the Indian culture is you don't have to teach values. Just tell them the beautiful, inspiring stories from Ramayana and Mahabharata. That's all. All the value system is imbibed. Simply by hearing how Lord Ram struggled for always establishing Dharma, and looking at Krishna, how shrewd strategic planner he was. Ram had little elegance in the sense Maryada Purushottam. He kept Maryada in the front, he walked at the back behind. But Lord Krishna, being the Supreme Lord, he walked front, Maryada behind. Amaryadit. Because it's a fact. He was the Purna Kala. He exhibited himself for what he is. Swarat. Very difficult for atheistic people to accept Krishna. Ram, no problem. Krishna, too much. You have to actually, even by hating them, they remember. Even atheist, Krishna still attracts them in a negative way. They really feel agitated. If I enjoy with two people, then they say, hey, this is wrong. He had 16,000 people, and still people worship him, glorify him, surrender their lives to him. This is too much. They can't understand. Janma karma cha me divyam. So what a revolution. And billions of years ago, 5,000 years ago, Krishna came. Still he is continuing to reform. Still he is continuing to purify. Still he is continuing to elevate the consciousness of people. simply by his name. People are dedicating their whole life existence. How? What is it? Why people can't still understand? Anyway, I think I'll quickly just run through. And certain things I thought, a lot of, because I was given 1 week. So I was thinking in so many different ways. So I don't know whether it is coherent. There is no coherent thought because so many things are spontaneously coming up. But still, certain things I thought I should express. True characteristics, because the ultimate purpose is not listen and say, very nice, Krishna, the best social reformer, and we go home without any reformation. The whole purpose of this presentation is, what do we do from now? Otherwise, what do we use? It's not just a cultural entertainment. Yes, it is entertaining and it's purifying, no doubt. But there should be some, actually something, message to carry back. And that is, the greatest reformation has to first happen within before we create a reformation without. As soon as I walked into Bombay Airport, if you walk out from any other thing, Bombay Airport, you see Mahatma Gandhi's one statement. You become the change you want to see in the world. If you want to see some change in the world, you become that change first. First there is Tadvag Visargo Janataga Viplavo Yasmin Pratishlokam Abadhavatyapi. We're talking about reformation, revolution. The creation of Vyasdev, today is Vyas Purnima. His words, his compositions are Tadvag Visargo Janata Agha Viplavo. It will create revolution as it enters from the ears into the heart of a sadhavaha, honest person, genuine seeker. It cannot but create a revolution. Revolution means revolution. It totally revolves. That means 180 degree transformation should happen in your heart. If it doesn't happening, something is wrong. Only with us. Because process is perfect. If it is not revolving, something is stuck. You have to grease it. And once that within is transformed, Yanisha Sarvabhutanam Tasyam Jagrati Sayami Yasyam Jagrati Bhutani Sanisha Pashyato Mune. Then we have a Shastra Chakshu, we have a spectacles through which we can actually see things for what they are. Now we have Charma Chakshu 20x20, but still useless. But when we have Shastra Chakshu, seeing through the eyes of Guru, seeing through the eyes of Parampara, seeing through the message of Krishna, then we see the world in a total different perspective. What we were worshipping and trying to surrender to, we realize is actually demoniac. Now we have to turn to what is divine. There is a total transformation. So, in our own way, not necessarily that tomorrow onwards, you know, I do some powerful revolution. At least it should come in the newspapers and should go in the history books. If you want to create an impact, I read somewhere. Write something worth reading or do something worth writing. That's not necessary. At least if we can transform our own heart, this social body, is also body is like a society of so many organisms. First transform this. There should be a reformation here inside. Manifesting through our manasa, vacha, karmana. Then we can gradually bring about a change at large. And what are the characteristics of a social reformer? Krishna demonstrated. He was attached to reforming. He was not attached to taking power. It's amazing. He never actually had any power. He never became the king. He was a coward boy. Then he went to Mathura. Ugrasen Maharaj. Aap raho. Went to Dwarka. Ugrasen Maharaj. Amazing. He killed Kamsa. Then everyone would have thought, Kamsa Mardia, now I can be the king. He put Maharaj Ugrasen. He killed Jarasandha, the greatest terrorist at that time. Can you imagine? Thousands of kings he had gathered them together to offer as Kala Bhairava some yagya. So many people, nobody dared approach him. Krishna not only destroyed him thoroughly, and he attacked him so many times. Not only destroyed him, but after destroying, his own son, Sahadev, he appointed him as a king. He went and killed Bhaumasur and handed over the whole thing to his son, Bhagadatta. He said, you rule. I'm not here to just take proper proprietorship or controllership or anything. I want just proper people to rule this place, that's all. And the whole Kurukshetra was to establish the Pandavas, who were really, actually representing Dharma. So one thing is, a person who really wants to reform cannot be carried away by the externals, but see the substance. There are principles and there are details. Principles cannot be changed. Details can keep changing. When details are taken as principles and you stick to them, you become fanatic. And when principles are taken as details and you keep on changing it, then you become compromised and diluted. When Krishna comes, he neglects the details. He goes to the heart. He sees the principle and establishes dharma sansthapanarthaya. Therefore, by scrutinizing, studying Krishna's and all the incarnations and their life, we actually understand what is. I would like to... Anyway, there are so many. I would like to just conclude with one. Many years ago, Pejavar Swami from Udupi Math, he was speaking about Govardhan Leela. And he was talking about so many as a social reformer. He gave some purports to Krishna's as a social reformer. He was talking about how through Govardhan Leela, he broke through those ancient traditions. क्यों कर रहे हैं वो हमारे दादाजी कर रहे थे इसीलिए हम कर रहे हैं सो ही आस्क्ड नंद महाराज व्हाई आर यू डूइंग इट टेल मी एक्सप्लेन फुल डिटेल एंड ही सेड व्हाई वर्शिप ए डिस्टेंट गॉड सो कॉल्ड गॉड हियर इज समथिंग डायरेक्टली यू आर गेटिंग बेनिफिटेड फ्रॉम वर्शिप गोवर्धन ही इज टॉकिंग अबाउट कृष्णा इज रेसिप्रोकेटिंग इन सो मेनी वेज व्हेन वी आर वर्शिपिंग सम डेमिगॉड अप देयर But actually not reciprocating with, you know, sometimes we see that as devotees also. Sometimes we may be devotees, but we are not expressing gratitude to many things that we receive. There is no seeing Krishna's hand within that. So it says Govardhan Leela, Krishna showed that. Yes, Govardhan is providing everything. Worship Govardhan. And of course, he proved that he is actually none other than Krishna himself and formed the Govardhan Hill. But he said at the end, after all that, when the rain stopped, Krishna asked one of his cowherd boys. He said, just go and see whether the rain has stopped. The Gwal went and he came back. He said, Krishna, there are no rains there, but there is rain here now, under the hill. The rains of tears of all the Brajavasis of ecstasy and gratitude. He said, nobody is shivering now. We were all shivering. Now there is only one person shivering up there. Indra, out of fear that he has offended you. There are no black clouds. Only the black face of Indra. Krishna taught a resounding lesson through all of these wonderful activities. And he was always attached to serving. He's a menial servant. One moment he is washing everyone's feet. And then Rajasu Yagya. Right? He took up that menial service washing everyone's feet. And in the Rajasu Yagya, The whole world was worshipping his feet. And he was actually aloof to both of them. Because he was trying to do what he is supposed to do. The way he is supposed to do. So in this way, through these beautiful pastimes of the Lord, we can only learn that real social reformers, the greatest social reformer is the Supreme Lord himself, because he has formed, he knows how to reform. And anyone who abides by the will, that is dharma samsthapanarthaya, follows in that disciplic succession, he can actually do something of substance in this world. Whether it is a drop or an ocean. Whether it is a spider pushing some grains, or whether it is Hanuman throwing some big huge boulders and mountain tops. According to our ability, the first thing is to reform within. And then actually, to the best of our ability, whatever Krishna has given, try to see what best we can bring within our social circle. Maybe in a family, maybe in a society, maybe in the country, maybe in the whole planet, maybe in the whole universe. Actually, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says, each of, Chaitanya Bhagavat also says, each of Mahaprabhu's followers can deliver the whole universe. They have the power to deliver the whole universe. Vasudeva Datta prayed like that. He said, all the living entities of the whole universe, all their sins, let it come to me. How can we ever compare with any other person? Mahaprabhu's actually tears in his eyes. He said, no, you don't have to suffer, but they will all be delivered simply by your desire. So externally we may not understand, because we are watering the root of the tree, we may take a glass of water and pour, but actually it is influencing the whole tree. Similarly, we may think, the whole world is going at such a speed in this direction and I am alone trying, kya hoga Prabhuji? Bhale 800 log hai, Hare Krishna bole yaha, kya hoga? Darya mein khaskas. Nothing is going to happen. But no, it's not like that. Because you're pouring on the root of the tree, it's going to affect every part of the tree. It will reach. Surely, because you are satisfying. Yasmin tushte jagat tushtam. Draupadi gave one grain of rice to Krishna and 10,000 or 60,000 disciples of Durvasa Muni started belching loudly. Satisfied fully. So if you have only one grain, how many beggars can you feed? But simply feed Krishna. The whole Bombay will belch. May not be their belly will blow up. Not like that. But their soul will be satisfied. They will get benefited. Spiritually benefited. Sometimes we do Harinam. Nobody is there. Aaj koi sunai nahi lagta hai. The vibration is there. It affects actually. So, we can begin from our own. Charity begins at home. And then actually try to do this. And by scrutinizing study of the lives of Krishna, especially as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the most munificent, exclusively for Kali Yuga, and wonderful followers headed by the most prominent one, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, an acharya, one man. Just see, it's like that coconut tree, you know. He planted, just one man, 70-year-old, with 40 rupees. He plants something, and that tree, that powerful branch of Chaitanya tree in the form of International Society for Krishna Consciousness is spreading all over the world. And so many people all over are finding shelter. And their whole lives is reformed. That whole society is reformed. So many societies are there. Vegetarianism society, this society, that society. Smoker society, Alcoholic Anonymous, Smokers Anonymous, Anger Anonymous, this Anonymous. Everyone is sincerely struggling. But we are sau sonar ki ek lohar ki. Ek hathodi bas. Just become a devotee of the Lord. And automatically vegetarian, anger, this, that, everything will go. All in one. So on the day of Guru Purnima, we can pray to this old wonderful parampara of ours, this glorious Gaudiya Vaishnava parampara, and all the great personalities in the other sampradayas who have lived by the will of the Lord, that we may also develop anxious to serve others, develop deep rooted, let us be deep rooted in the knowledge of truly what is beneficial with deep conviction, and try to the best of our ability to extend ourselves at the risk of some inconvenience, not all inconvenience, at least some inconvenience, so that others can also get the benefit. In the process, we can perfect our lives. Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Krishna Bhagavan ki, Nithai Gopimanande. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.